Welcome back to the Space Case Sarah Show with my space nerds, Kavi and Benjamin. We are playing another trivia game in honor of the Cobalt episode for really no reason. It's just because we're playing around with this new recording studio and we didn't really know how it was going to work. So we went nice and easy. And yep, I had terrible questions because I assumed you guys knew pretty much everything that I kept finding and I needed to be more specific. So lessons learned. Who would like to ask their questions first? Me? Oh, yeah. Benjamin, you went last the last time, so I think you should go first.
Okay. All right. I have some more multiple choice trivia questions for everybody.
Hey.
Fabulous.
Sorry.
Okay.
Next this is question. How he got into PhD school.
Oh, man, this guy's a genius.
I know all the letters. I know all 17 all right. letters.
Ooh. Here we go. All right. What is the unit of measurement used to describe the expansion of the universe? Is it the Curie point, the Lagrange point, the Roche limit, or the Hubble constant?
Damn it.
Kavi buzzed in first.
Okay.
Go ahead. It is the Hubble constant, which is 1/ the scale factor of the universe.
Is it the, what was the second one?
Good.
Say that one again. The rate.
You did. You win.
I
said the Roche limit.
The Roche limit. Is that the brightness limit of?
I think that's where a object gets close enough to the larger object that it's orbiting and to a point where the gravity.
Right. Where it would get ripped
is enough
apart.
To rip
yes.
it apart.
Yeah. Okay.
What's yeah. that? The brightness thing called? Is the Eddington limit. Maybe is that what you're thinking of?
I just know that there's apart? A scale of brightness. So anyway. Okay.
There is.
Next question.
Great question. I love it.
Oh, thank you. In what constant? Sorry. I hit my microphone. In what constellation can we find the hottest known place in the universe? Is it Pisces, Virgo, the Southern Cross, or the Little Dipper?
The hottest place in the universe.
The hottest place in the hottest known place in the universe.
So not the solar system, the universe.
No, it's hotter.
Obviously, because the constellations are out of the solar system. But
is this?
I'm gonna say the Southern Cross. I don't know.
I feel like you wouldn't have included the Southern Cross unless that was it. But are we talking about a star? Are we like it's the hottest star?
If you look towards Virgo. There is a cloud of searing gas surrounding a swarm of gas, a galaxies clustered together 5 billion light years away in the constellation Virgo, supposedly reaching a temperature of 300 million degrees Celsius.
Holy. What is that in Kelvin?
It's about the same. About the same. Kelvin and Celsius are separated by like 273, so it's like the
same. At that
same.
Point, it doesn't matter.
So what's the advantage
yeah.
to that then? Okay.
Well, Virgo is so hot right now. Yes.
I have heard that you know
so
Jupiter,
right like really,
no, not Jupiter, Pluto is going to be in some sort of phase that you know was similar to akin to the time of 2008. So watch out for the stock market collapsing. I'm not joking. I actually saw somebody say that.
Is this like an emo phase that Pluto is going to be going through? Like Pluto's
all go through
combing
that
its hair over and listening to Good Charlotte. Yeah.
We were all Pluto once.
So emo.
What is the farthest known star from Earth? Is it Betelgeuse, Arcturus, Rigel, or Arendelle?
I mean, I like the Lord of the Rings reference there. Arendelle, you know. I'm going to narrow it down to B or C, though, because of that.
Betelgeuse is pretty close. Betelgeuse is like 600 light years away. Rigel, I'm not sure about, and Arcturus. Ugh. I want to say Arcturus.
I'm going to say Rigel.
The
then.
Lord of the Rings fan is correct. It's Arendelle.
Oh, I was going to say B. I felt like that was a trick because it was Arendelle.
The furthest one that we know of, so it could be more, but Currently, it's the.
I mean, there's definitely more. Like the early universe stars would be further, but yeah, we don't know.
Does that like include globular clusters too? That's because those are, you know,
it's an actual individual star.
Okay.
So that's yeah. As far as I know.
Okay.
Next question: if you could go there and look up. What other world in our solar system also has a blue sky? Is it Uranus, Mars, Titan, or Pluto?
Well, Mars at certain times of day.
Right, because Mars has blue sunsets.
Never mind the sunsets.
Okay.
Just daytime sky. Daytime sky. Tricky.
My guess would be Titan.
Huh?
My guess would be Titan.
I was going to say, how would we know, like Pluto? Like, we've never been. I would assume that they would know just based off of the atmospheric science properties of it, but.
Yeah. Right. That would be my guess, too.
Titan's sky is yellow-orange.
Damn it!
The answer is trick question. Both Uranus and Pluto. We have seen both of their skies from probes who pass by them. And then as we went by, we looked back, and we could see the sunlight through their atmospheric haze. So Pluto's barely has a sky. If you were able to stand on the surface, you would see a very faint blue sky. But if you're able to go down some depth into the clouds of Uranus and look up, if you're able to do that, you would see a very lovely blue sky. All right.
But what is obvious? Up, really?
Duh. Huh? Look out. All right? Better. If you look
that's
out,
what's up.
Away from the center.
Thank you.
Look out.
Away from the center.
All right. Speaking of Pluto, can you name the five biggest, I hate saying this, dwarf planets?
Ooh.
Can you name any of them?
Ceres?
Ceres is not one of the five, which blew me away. I thought Ceres
was Vesta.
Vesta is not even on the list.
Pluto?
No, Dread.
Big round rocky ball.
Big round rocky ball. Pluto is the biggest, sadly, of the dwarf planets. Thanks, Neil Tyson. Then we have Eris is second place. Haumea, third. Makemake, or Makemake, or Mikmik, or whatever you want to call it. Fourth, Gongong is fifth. Believe it or not.
What?
What's that? Pluto's moon Charon. If it is
Gongong.
If Pluto's moon Charon were considered a dwarf planet, which apparently there's some debate, even though they orbit each other, it's sixth place. Then Quar, Sedna, and then finally Ceres.
Well, so I have a question for you.
Bring.
If given the chance to get in front of Neil deGrasse Tyson and debate about Pluto, would you do it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you take him on?
Can I set up the scene anyway?
Yeah,
I like?
I'd love to hear it.
It would absolutely be after a few drinks and absolutely after I paid money to see the guy and hear him talk and get him to autograph a thing or two. And then I would say, hey buddy, seriously though.
Let me tell you.
Seriously, though, I love the vests. You look awesome. You're so snappy. The Cosmos shows is great. But come on, the Pluto thing. Seriously.
Come on.
A little. Human
so you're worried about
there.
Getting like canceled by Neil deGrasse Tyson? Then is that the
Neil deGrasse Tyson is just like us. He's a human being, so he's bound to make a mistake once in a while.
I'm saying, are you afraid? Are you afraid of like him being like, Benjamin, you are no longer a valid science communicator and we're vetoing you because of your stance on Pluto?
No. Are you kidding me? That'd be great. Hi, I'm Benjamin Salas, the one science communicator Neil deGrasse Tyson hates.
He'd be sharing the screenshots of like, he blocked me. He really blocked me.
Wow.
All right.
The funny thing to me, sorry, was just like, I think it was the astronomer Mike Brown who originally like you know, found the science or led the International Astronomical Union to the direction of saying that Pluto should be reclassified as a dwarf planet. Funnily enough, his Twitter handle, I think, is at Pluto Killer. But the wild thing is that he's like responsible for killing Pluto. And then almost immediately afterwards, I feel like he's been the leading astronomer looking into Planet Nine, this you know, potential
right.
ninth planet that might exist somewhere also in that region, like a trans-Neptunian object that's further out than the orbit of Neptune. And it's just so far that it's, you know, so small and dark and it's hard to see. But he's like, no, Pluto isn't the ninth planet. This guy.
I will find the Planet Nine. Right, there's definitely, I feel like in any, well, not any, but you know, like if you find a new dinosaur, you get to name it and stuff like that. There's definitely an ego thing to finding something first. Like, I want to find Planet Nine. And what would you name the Planet Nine?
Jeff.
Pluto.
Would you really name it Pluto just to mess with people in the future?
Ninth planet Pluto. All those old textbooks, bring them back. They're good now.
All right, one more question.
Okay. I'll try to... I have a few more questions. I'll blend them into one.
Okay, well, no, you can maybe do like two. I just didn't know how many more you had. So
I'll go really fast. What is the biggest moon of Jupiter?
Yo mama.
Nope.
Oh! Snap! Is it? I feel like it's a trick question. I want to say Ganymede, but it also might be Europa.
You are correct. It is Ganymede, which is also, by the way, the biggest moon in the solar system. What is Saturn's biggest moon?
Oh, wow. Yo mama.
Yo mama. Is it Enceladus?
No, it's Titan. Second biggest moon in the solar system and the only one with an atmosphere. What is Uranus's biggest moon?
Did you know, actually, fun fact, Benjamin, you probably don't know this, but the sky on Titan is kind of like a yellowish orange color. Oh,
except at sunset when it's dirt brown.
Uranus, whatever. Biggest moon.
You know the Shakespeare, you might have a chance.
Oberon.
No, it's Titania.
Damn it.
All right, Neptune's biggest moon. That's my last one.
Triton,
correct. And it's also the only round sphere moon of Neptune. All the other ones are tiny little oblong potato things. Like,
oh, they also have pasta moons. They also have, because I know that Saturn has moons that are kind of like tortellini /
potato.
Ravioli. Yes. Yeah, yes. Ravioli moons.
I love ravioli moons. Especially with Alfredo sauce.
Well, thank you, Benjamin, for this rounding, like, rapid-fire trivia quiz segment. I'm going to mark this spot. We're going to see how this works out. But as a reminder, you can follow us all on social media and the station iRock Space Radio. I forgot to give that a shout-out in the first segment. Yes, you did bump your microphone. And this is a tradition. It has to be done. But we are also very appreciative if you're listening to this live on the station. That is awesome. We are uploading our episodes to podcast formats anywhere. So make sure you're checking out the show if you're not listening to it there right now. Make sure you're listening to it there. And I'm going to hit... You're listening to the Space Case Air Show with my space nerds, Kavi and Benjamin, here on iRock Space Radio.